covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Well, that's a clunker. And I didn't work the Pittsburgh series, so I can say they were due for one. But I know there were a couple of those in Pittsburgh. Welcome in. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here in person. 4-0, and that's your ball game. Good night. That's the postgame show. There's really not a lot from this one. Honestly, we were joking over in the television booth about, of all the games, of 162 of them, like, if you ranked every single game on the season of, like, how memorable it was or what you were excited about or things you enjoyed, this would be game number 162 because, like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to remember the home run that Luis Robert Jr. hit that was halfway to Sheboygan. And that's about all I'm going to remember from this game. And it happens. That's why we play so many games.
Yeah, it was just a game where you had a young pitcher come in and pitch a really good ball game, got his first career win and threw the ball fairly well and kept the Brewers off stride. I really thought he pitched kind of old style. He kind of tried to dominate one side of the plate, and when he needed to, he showed the other side of the plate. I thought he did an outstanding job, wasn't overpowering, but uses all his pitches effectively. And then I turned it over to our guy in Sprout, and you know, here's a guy who had 99 pitches in 4 2/3 innings. And when you see him out there, this guy has got so much talent, and it's just a matter of finding a time or finding a way he can get confidence in his pitches, that he can make good pitches and pitch to early contact. I think when he learns to pitch to early contact, throw strikes, and be confident in what he has, I think he's going to be a really good pitcher.
You know, I see a few things about Brandon Sproat that there's some simplification to be done. You can see, talk to me in the pitcher's mind here, you know, we're 101 games into this, right? This is a sample size now. This isn't...
That's right.
This is sort of, unfortunately, this season is who he is. Command has been an issue. Missing his targets have been an issue. Thinking about his mechanics have been an issue. And quite frankly, their thinking has been an issue, meaning, you know, you see a runner take off and he's still processing in his mind, like, what he wants to do. He's trying to hold the runner. He's trying to think about that Ewing's taking off early. He's not able to get him. Or then even you're thinking about how often we were seeing him shake with Gary Sanchez. And I know Brandon, you know, Pat Murphy made a point to say this earlier today. He's like, there are no personal catchers in the show today, but Gary has unofficially become Brandon Sproat's personal catcher. And if you're still shaking Gary, it's like you're thinking too much. You're doing too much. And I think Brandon, let's give him some grace. He's a rookie. He's still learning what it takes to be an everyday big leaguer. But in my mind, what I see is his mind. Like I think the best pitchers that we see on a daily basis make it look easy. And they make it look, you know, I call it the swan theory, where we think of a swan on the water as an elegant, you know, creature. And
that's
it's
right.
So beautiful in the water. But we don't see underneath is the feet pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. We don't see that as a swan. But, you know, sometimes pitchers, you can see when they're processing. You can see when they're thinking about, okay, the scouting report says don't miss inside of this guy. And then, oh, this guy's a runner, and I got to make sure I hold it. It just feels like it's still speeding up on him.
It is. I think he's the type of pitcher that, you know, you hear him do his interviews and he said, I'm comfortable with my mechanics. I go out there and I feel like if I'm comfortable. I think you got to throw mechanics out the door. I think when you go in that bullpen between starts, that's when you work on mechanics. That's where you work on getting comfortable, getting a good pause position, getting a good pace and rhythm and a good release point that you feel very comfortable with. Get the mechanics out the door there. When you walk to the mound, you have a game plan. You have a sequence of pitches you have to do, and you have to execute them. And I think the biggest thing with Brandon is execution of pitches. He doesn't execute the pitches consistently, tries to be too fine. Everything is, you say, well, he pitches well, he pitches to the corners. And, you know, every once in a while, you got to throw that ball down the middle, and it's going to think good things are going to happen. Or you got to believe in yourself when you throw the ball down that they're not going to catch up with it, and they're going to hit the ball on the ground to someone. And I think when you get to that, spot where you're going to get a sequence of pitches or your game plan, and you go out there and you execute that game plan from thinking strike one, strike two, getting ahead, limiting the pitches per at bat, and you're going to do much well. Today he was at 4.7. And I think with Brandon, he's got the good enough stuff where, yeah, he's going to have some high pitch counts because he's a strikeout kind of guy. But you know what? when a strikeout guys get guys to hit the ball in early in counts, that's where they're successful. When they get to two strikes, they make that quality pitch. And I don't think he's quite there yet.
I think with Brandon, you can see moments of just, yeah.
Yes.
But then you see the moments of, no. And it's infuriating because we've been seeing this for 3.5 months now from Brandon, because everybody in that Brewers dugout, everybody in this Brewers player development system continues to tell me and everybody who will listen, there is a dude in there, and they believe in him, and they will continue to try to build his confidence, try to build what they know he can become. Again, as I began the segment, he is a rookie. We can't act like this guy arrived as a polished, ready-to-go product.
Right.
He is not that guy
Good call.
Yet. That being said, I think a lot of Brewers fans want to visually see progress being made, and I think I personally enjoyed seeing him get frustrated, getting pulled from the game in the fifth inning. You know, he let out an expletive when he saw Murph come up here. But at the same time, it's the tales all the time. This is blunt, but this is the truth. Anybody would tell you the same thing. It's tales all the time. You know, you wanted to get out of the fifth inning. You know, you had a 1-2 count on Bo Bichette, and you ended up walking him. You're mad that your manager is coming out to get you at 99 pitches in the fifth inning. If you don't like it, play better. And it's a blunt thing to say, but everyone in baseball has heard that phrase.
And I was just, and you know, Dom, I was just going to bring that at bat up.
Yes.
With that inning was the one inning where he could have gone, got a 1-2-3 inning. He was ahead of Bo Bichette, and know what he was trying to do? He got too fine.
Yep.
He got too fine, trying to make a perfect pitch, and he didn't make it. And he walked him, and then he goes and he's mad at Murph because Murph came out. I think, you know, inside he understands. He's mad at himself. He walked the guy.
That's for sure.
But there's a situation at that time in the game, that juncture in the game, you say, you know what? I've got two outs. I got to finish this inning. I got to go five. I got to do something positive. If I go five innings here, it's going to be a positive because I've only given up two runs. I've kept us in the ballgame. That's a positive. He let that situation get away from him. And those are the situations where he's got to take that, like they say, back off, slow the game down, and say, I'm going to make a good pitcher. No matter what it is, what the count is, I've got to get Bichette out. And I'm going to make him hit the ball. And I think that's a situation you brought up perfectly, that Murph came out. I'm sure he was saying, oh, Murph, come on. But, you know, I think when he walks off and he gets halfway to the thing, he goes, no. Come on, Sprout. Let's go. Mm-hmm. It's your fault. And I agree with you there.
I think the other part, too, is equity, right? He hasn't built up equity over these last four starts or so, where his pitch count gets so inflated in the first two innings.
Yep.
And the last thing you want is that inning to continue. And ultimately, Chad Patrick got some bad luck. He got two ground balls. There was a misplay with Bryce Terang and Andrew Vaughn on a ball that somebody needs to at least get a glove on and keep it on the infield. And who knows what else happens that inning. But at the same time, like, he did the hard part. He got Ewing to fly out. He got Soto to fly out. He was ahead of Bo Bichette 1-2, who will swing at a lot. Like, I mean, he puts bat on ball. He's a bad ball hitter. I'll give him that. But at the same time, Bo stayed back and let a couple pitches go by, and he drew the walk and chased Brandon from this game. You know, the other thing about today, and there's always going to be discourse about Brandon's bro because he's in the Freddie Peralta deal, and I can't even say the word. When you put the juxtaposition of him versus Freddie Peralta last night, here's the thing. There's not a single rule in the rule book that says your starter on July 21st and he didn't get out of the fifth inning has to be on the postseason roster. There's no rule that says, oh, he has to throw game one of the NLDS. Right? He is still developing. We're watching it in real time. He is your fifth, probably your sixth starter, your sixth option right now. It is not a finished product. That is very clear at this point. The Brewers know that. Brandon Sproat knows that. So these final two-ish months, find that product. Find the little wins. What are those things that the Brewers can do to get Brandon's
back? It's with him. There's some mechanics that need to work, and you do in a bullpen. But then you got to come up with that game plan, and you got to stay strictly on there. I think he lets a lot of things enter his mind, and it becomes discombobulated in there. What do I do here? I got all this stuff. I got to do this. I got to make a perfect pitch here, or if I get behind here, here's the pitch I'm going to make. He can make all those pitches. He's got an abundance of talent, and he can make those pitches. But he's got to come come to some kind of agreement with himself, saying, you know what, I do the work in a bullpen, I come up with a game plan, and I'm going to find a sequence that I'm going to each of these hitters I know how to do, and I'm going to execute it. I'm not going to get away from executing. I'm going to try to make them hit ball one or ball two if I can. And if he does that, I think things are going to get bad. It's the same thing with Freddie last night. Freddie was so out of whack last night. I remember him games when he just didn't have. He was throwing across his body, he's overextending. That's not Freddie Peralta. And, you know, Freddie, when he gets dialed in, he's really good. He was out of whack last night. I think he was trying to think too much. I think he's trying to do too much. But I think the same thing comes back with Sprout tonight. Trying to do too much. Trying to be that perfect guy. And he's not perfect. There's no pitcher that's perfect. You got to go and execute your game plan.
And then we also got to give a moment to say, he was one pitch away.
That's right.
From us sitting here going, man, he rebounded. You know,
yep.
he didn't have his best stuff, but we learned something about him today. But because of the way it ended, we kind of sit here and go, more of the same from Brandon Sprout. 28 pitch first inning,
yeah.
Four walks in the game. The stuff's moving, like under the hood, the stuff looks good. But then it's just like the sequencing isn't quite right.
Yep.
Shakes, the disagreements with Gary, the long at-bats, the big misses. I mean, you don't even give Gary the opportunity. I mean, there were some pitches that I saw people complaining about ABS, and we'll talk about ABS, about how, oh, Gary should have challenged that pitch. Well, when Gary's set up away on a lefty and he has to come back inside and backhand a ball inside to a lefty, it's like, that's the hardest one for him to pick because,
yeah.
Like, I think it's a strike, but I never got a chance to really present it. It's just everything adds up. Everything becomes a snowball. And I promise you, talking to Brandon in the clubhouse, it's eating him alive. I mean, he wants to succeed in the big leagues with a new team. You could also argue he's putting too much on his shoulders. Somebody in the Brewers will send him, hey, dude, you're okay. You are here for the next 4 years.
That's
right. You know, the game plan is to, like, let's make this a development story, what a story it could be. It's not a finished product. And again, there's nobody that is going to be forcing the Brewers to say, Brandon Sproul has to pitch Game 5 against the Cubs. Like, no one is saying that. Like, he needs to earn his way onto any thought of October right now.
You know, it brings back a story, Dom, and I'll bring him back to my career. I remember when Ted Simmons came over, mm-hmm. and one of the first games that he caught me in spring training maybe three or four times. He kind of knew what I was throwing, the kind of pitcher that I was. And I remember, I think I was starting against the California Angels, he says, Augie, come on over here. We got to talk. I sat down. He says, how do you feel tonight? You got it all? You going to throw the ball good tonight? I said, I'm ready. I said, I'm ready. I said, I'm going to tell you what. I put down a sign. You throw it. I put down a location. You throw it. Don't question me. Don't come and change me. I put it down. You throw it. I threw a shutout. After the game was over, we sat and we talked. And I asked him, I said, why did you do that? Why did you say to me very demonstratively, throw what I put down there. Do what I tell you. Because you know what? I wanted to take the thinking out of your head. I want you to come out there clear mind, and I want you to execute. You did that. Wow. Look at you had a 2-0 shutout.
Yeah.
So those things happen. I think the same thing with when you're talking about Brandon with Gary. He's back there. He understands what he has to do. These catchers are really, really good we have. You got to sometimes say, hey, you know what? You can't shake me off. And if you do, I'm going to come out there. I'm going to punch you right in the nose. You know, you got to get to that kind of attitude. I think that's where I think Sprout needs to get. I think Gary does a great job of calling a game behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just got to get to that mindset that, you know what? I'm going to execute what you put down there no matter what.
Yeah, one of those days for Brandon Sprout. Bryce Wilson, shout out to him because I don't think otherwise we're going to talk about him today. For him to go four innings after Chad Patrick got out of that fifth. Yes, two runs scored after Chad, but one run against Bryce in four innings of relief. You've got everybody available in the bullpen tomorrow with an off day on Thursday. That's very important for the Brewers trying to win this series against the Mets tomorrow. They're shut out 4-0. So some bad luck or was it bad offense? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. One of them days. I mean, we can throw a chair and break a window and freak out, or you can dust yourself off and get ready for another game in about, 15 hours or so. So I'm going to choose that option as the Brewers fall 4-0 to the Mets. They can still win the series tomorrow. It's right back to where we started yesterday. Dodgers have the best record in baseball. The Brewers are up 6 games in the division. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. So the offense, I mean, there's an equal amount of tip your cap to Zach Thornton. He earned his first big league win today, completing 6 strong innings with just one walk and only 2 strikeouts. Not a lot of swing and miss, only 6 swings and misses today, but in the middle of this game, you know, he left He got a key double play from Andrew Vaughn in the first inning, and then he got a base running blunder from Joey Ortiz in the sixth inning and got Terang to fly out. Other than that, there's some bad batted ball luck, of course, or you could say it's good pitching. So for me as the hitter, I'll say it's bad batted ball luck. For you as a pitcher, you say, oh, he was staying off the barrel just enough.
You know, to me, he was an old-style pitcher. You know, the kind of guy that says, I'm going to go out there and I got to dominate one side of the plate. And he did it. It seemed like early in the ballgame, he was really throwing to his arm side of the plate and was locating the ball and expanding the strike zone on the inside part of the plate to right-handers, the way to lefties. And he had a good breaking ball. He threw his breaking ball when he had to. He got it for strikes when he got behind. He got it in all parts of the zone. But I just think he came into the game that I have to dominate. I have to get ahead as much as I can. I can't make those bad pitches in the center of the plate. Yeah, the Brewers did hit some balls hard. They hit some balls right on the screws, right at somebody. And those things happen when you make some pretty good pitches. But I thought a little bit of an old-style pitcher, but kept everything in control, kept away from the center part of the plate, and really threw the ball very well.
Yeah, the Brewers did hit a few balls hard. And, you know, roof was closed, panels were open, ball wasn't really jumping tonight. It wasn't necessarily a hot day today here inside the ballpark, but there were a couple of balls today hit by the Brewers against Zach Thornton, right? He had a 107 lineout by Garrett Mitchell to dead center. Yeah. Obviously wouldn't have got out of the yard, but then Churio's single was a ground ball that was hit hard. Churio had a fly out to deep left that he just missed it. That was 102 off the bat. Vaughn had a fly out at 99 off the bat. That one died at the warning track, too. But overall, I mean, honestly, the Brewers did not hit the ball that hard tonight. I mean, most of the good contact was done by the Mets. To me, it's not so much like, oh, they had bad batted ball luck. And yes, there was a diving play in left by Ewing. But you could tell. Use all your senses when you're at a ballpark, the sound. When you know that sound when it punches you. That sound from Luis Robert Jr., that punched you.
Yes, it did.
And then, you know, there were a few that like, that sounded a little clicky. It didn't sound right then. It honestly surprised me of how far some of those went today for the Brewers. And I think the biggest moment, though, when we look back at this, is the base-running blunder in the sixth inning. Not so much Vaughn's double play in the first, but rather you get the first two guys aboard with clean singles, right? Cooper and Joey get their job done. They set the table for the top of the order. And at this point, you know, it's 3-0 after the poor fifth inning from the Brewers pitching staff. And Churio's up. Churio on the 0-1 pitch. He hasn't been chasing as much lately, and he chased a high cutter, and that just ruined his whole at-bat because then he got it in his own brain, and he watched the cutter down the middle. He got fooled. But the base-running blunder that I'm pointing out, Terang is battling. It's a 2-2 pitch, and the ball gets away from the catcher, Luis Torrens. It didn't get that far away from Torrens. It was a tough read for somebody on second base because you talk to anybody where that depth perception is hard, where you see a ball behind the catcher. Is it rolling all the way to the backstop, or is it just staying right there in the dirt? So Cooper stayed put. If you hesitate, the first rule is you stay put. Joey, though, he saw the depth, and he assumed that Cooper was going. He did not look up and see that Cooper was not going. So he gets, you know, in between. He gets an order run down. Cooper gets hung out to dry. He gets thrown out trying to go to third, wants to throw, and all of everything gets chaos, and ultimately the inning ends. In my opinion, that blame falls on Joey for not paying attention. You are anchored. You have to pay attention to who's ahead of you. And at the same time, Pratt, he hesitated, whatever. Maybe we'll have never known if Joey doesn't take off and Bryce stays alive as a tying run at the plate.
You know, it was kind of a tough play because I thought if Pratt just took off and went, I think he would.
I think probably, he probably gets it.
Probably gets there, but that indecisive, not seeing where the ball was, and I you're right. The depth perception from when you're standing out at second base, you just don't see the ball as well. And I think Joey said, "Oh, he's gone," and didn't pay attention where Pratt was, and then got a little bit too far off, and then all heck broke loose. But those things happen. And it's just a matter of, I think, that indecisiveness that Joey always, the guy who's behind, always has to know where the guy in front is. And he's got to be cognizant of what he's doing. And I think right there, Joey just got in, just took it for granted that he was going. And it just didn't work out. And I thought it was a big part of the ballgame.
You know, the other thing about today's game offensively for the Brewers, I mean, they did nothing against Weaver that did nothing really against Raley. For a split moment, when they got the base hit, the lead off, the ninth off Devin Williams, I'm like, oh.
Ooh, interesting.
Because obviously we all know the last time he pitched here, the Mets were involved. We don't need to go there. But the way that the offense went otherwise today, I mean, there was a lot of early swings. There was a lot of balls in play. There weren't a lot of counts worked because Thornton was throwing strikes and nibbling on the corners, using cutters to his advantage. You know, I just look at today's game, six swings and misses, a couple of balls hit well, some nice defense by Bo Bichette, some nice defense by A.J. Ewing. It was a big league game. This should have been a 1-0 game through six.
Right, I agree with you.
And then we're talking about an epic pitcher's duel, but instead it's just kind of, it's one of them days.
Yep, it did. And, you know, like I said earlier, I thought he pitched a little bit of an old-style game by dominating one side part of play. You know, he did get away to a couple breaking balls. Every once in a while, when you dominate a spot and you really show away, you throw that breaking ball, it's kind of a spinner, just isn't there. Like the Cheerio, I thought he got away with one of the Cheerio, that breaking ball, Cheerio. Cheerio usually puts that ball in play pretty hard, but he got away with it. But I think the reason he got away with it, his location and what he did all day, his game plan was really good, and he stayed to it. He didn't deviate from it, and he pitched a great ball game.
And he only had 2-3 ball counts. Part of that was the aggression of the Brewers, but the only 2-3 ball counts were his third batter of the game, the Contreras walk, and his last batter of the game, Terang, flying out to end the sixth inning. So Brewers didn't work counts today. That could be also due to the performance of the other guy, but hey, I'm just not going to freak out about a team that only got shut out for the fourth time in 101 games. Right. Let me put it in perspective again. That is the fourth time they've been shut out in 101 games. They're doing just fine.
Yes, they are. And it's just one of those things where he made the right pitches at the right time. And those things happen. You got those nights. And the main thing is you're staying ahead. He didn't, like you said, you stay away from three ball counts against the Brewers, and you're going to be pretty good. You're going to have a pretty good game. And it's exactly what Thornton did.
Yeah, so the offense was certainly cold tonight. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Whether it's after a day at the lake or at the golf course or here at the ballpark, you got to come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, Sider.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. Trade deadline is 13 days away. Where are the Brewers shopping? What aisles are they going down at the supermarket that is MLB trade deadline? We'll talk about that next on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Final segment with Jerry. I'm Dom. Brewers fall 4-0 today to the Mets. Finale tomorrow at 1:10. Christian Scott, who's been very good for the Mets, up against Logan Henderson, who's been very good for the Brewers. So it should be a good one with a couple of young arms tomorrow afternoon for the finale of that. Off day Thursday, I'll be at Game Night with Sal Frelick. Hope you're there too. GameNightWithSal.com for more information. That's at the New Fashioned in the Deer District. And then Friday, the Rockies come to town. Odd start time, 3:10 for the Legends game to follow that contest. The alumni Legends game, you know, you don't call it an old-timers game because there's a lot of young guys there. But that should be fun after the game on Friday. And we will not have a post-game show tomorrow or Friday. So the next time you'll hear me is Brewers Weekly on Thursday night, and then we won't have a post-game show until Saturday afternoon against the Rockies. So, Jerry, as the trade deadline approaches, 13 days away from this very moment, the Brewers have options of what they need. And a reminder, the only really impact injured position player right now is Sal Frelick. The only injured arm that you could argue that could come back and be a factor on this postseason. Now, there are other injured arms. I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but it is Jared Koenig. You know, and he's not injured. He's optioned, but I'm essentially calling that him restarting his spring training. So you look in the bullpen. DL Hall's on his way back. I should also include him on that conversation too. So if you get the choice, if you're Matt Arnold and you get to make one trade, I'm not asking for a name. I'm just asking for a position group. Are you going for a reliever? Are you going for a starting pitcher? Are you going for a right-handed bat? You know, where is your priority of what you think this team needs at the deadline?
I still think it's starting pitching. Mm-hmm. I think you just, you know, you're gone here. You see McCullers pitch the other night. I wish we could see him pitch a couple starts or give me a little bit more. Think about it right now. I think anytime you prove a team, you cannot have enough pitching. And I think Jerry Koenig and D.L. Hall are extremely important, getting them back. You get these guys those two guys back healthy, you got a really, really good bullpen. So I don't know if that's the area, although if you can improve it, you can. I just think in that starting pitching, the way it is right now, I think you want to make sure that you're there are three or four really strong guys you feel comfortable with there. But I think what Matt Arnold's going to do, he's going to go and he's going to find, if there's some way he can improve the team, he doesn't make any difference where it is. If he can go out and find someone that can play a position and help this ball club with an at-bat, hopefully a right-hand hitter maybe, I think he'll go out and do it.
There's a great story over in The Athletic about how there are so few right-handed hitters, not just available at the deadline,
yeah,
but being impact players in the big leagues right now. All the stars, when you think about it, are left-handed, aside right. from Aaron Judge, right? I mean, it's like, all right, Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, yeah, Freddie Freeman, Max Muncy. Like, the list goes on of all these left-handed hitters that, you know, have been dominating. And you know why? And the crux of the article is the fact that, well, since we got rid of the shift, we started to let lefties hit again.
Yeah.
And, oh, hey, wow, they're pretty darn good, right? Because they're facing right-handed
yeah,
pitching. So there's just not a lot of right-handed hitters available right now, which is it's at the bottom of my priority list just because I just don't think there's an impact back out there that suddenly makes this team better. Like, would it be cool to get Nolan Arenado? Maybe 4 years ago.
Sure.
But, like, would it be cool to get Eugenio Suarez? Maybe 3 years ago. Like, yeah. I just don't see – I know fans see a name, and they think it's all been the same since the last time they heard that name at the trade deadline, and it's not been the same for both of those guys. I just think that the way that this team – I'm with you, they need pitching – I think more realistically, they're going to get a reliever because it's just not as much cost. And I like Luke Weaver on this Mets team.
Oh.
I think he'd fit right in here perfectly. But he's got an extra year control, so that ups the price. And then it's like, oh, we got another David Stearns, Matt Arnold deal. There's going to be a scoreboard on that. Another name that I just want to throw out there. I'm literally workshopping this right now because, look, Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize are going to dominate the headlines all the way up to the very moment that the trade deadline comes. Because Detroit, they're five games back of a playoff spot right now after losing tonight to the Chicago Cubs. After they play the Cubs, I believe they have four or five consecutive series against sub-500 teams. Now, granted, a lot of the American League is sub-500.
Yep.
The point being is that if they take care of business against those teams, all of a sudden they're not going to make those guys available. So somebody that could be available, kind of had a clunker tonight, is Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman's on an expiring deal with the Blue Jays. Toronto's on a weird stretch where Vlad's not playing well. They've got a lot of injuries. I'm literally throwing it against the wall. We'll see if it sticks. But why not? I think that could work.
I'm not laughing at you. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I was watching baseball tonight, mm-hmm, and Toronto Blue Jays came on, and Gausman was pitching. They were talking about the struggles he had. First thing that came to mind. Wow, what a great fit.
Mm.
This guy is a guy who he hasn't missed a start in 3 years.
Right.
He goes and gives you seven innings, comes out, he's got all the tools to be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. It's funny that you said that. That's why I started laughing right away, Dom, because it came as soon as I saw him throw the first pitch, I said, Brewers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy that would fit this ball club. You talk about a guy that might be available the way Toronto's playing right now. You might have an opportunity to get him. I think he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yes.
And so you get a guy that you can get and it could really help your ball club. You know, is a Skubal available? Probably not. I don't think he's going to be available. I think they're going to be get right back in it. They got a good ball club. They're starting to play a little better. I know Chicago beat them today, but that's still a very, very good ball club. We got a long way to go. But I think the Toronto Blue Jays is an area, and that Gausman came to mind. That's why I started laughing, because as soon as he came out, I said Brewers.
And again, he had a clunker tonight. So don't come at me. He had a total clunker tonight.
Yes, he did.
He's not the only pitcher that's ever had a clunker before. But, I mean, under the hood, some of the expected numbers are really good. Some of the stuff about, you know, I think there's a factor of postseason experience.
Yeah.
I think there's a factor of, you know, it's a unique pitch. The splitter is so good. I think it's the fact that the Brewers are a team that understand, like, this is a rental. This is a short-term relationship. But then some Brewers fans will say, well, then why not get the fish, you know, the big fish,
right,
and go get Tarek Skubal, which we don't know if he's going to be available. And now, if Detroit goes on like an L6 this week.
Yep.
Hey now.
Maybe.
Hey now. Then you start getting in line for the bidding.
No,
because that becomes a really fun conversation over these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it will be. I think you have to wait and see how it happens. I think the next 13 days, there's a lot of things that can happen. You know, just in watching Gausman tonight, I mean, you know, you get certain veteran pitchers that understand that when they go someplace or they get the opportunity to do something special, they have a unique way of raising their game. They're dialed in. They understand. They know what they have to do. And when you can get a veteran, any kind of a veteran starter that can give you innings that the Brewers need right now, I know we have a good young pitching staff, but I think you having that veteran leadership or having them at colors or what you ever have, see what he can do down the road, I think that's so important with a pitching staff. Kevin Gausman would be a type of guy that you'd kind of look for.
Yep. Jerry Augustine, we're playing armchair GM right now, but we'll talk to you next week, late night with the Brew Crew when the Brewers go to San Francisco. Enjoy the rest of your week.
It's going to be fun. I'll tell you what, tomorrow's a big game. You want to come out, you want to win a series, and I'll talk to you next week. And they got an opportunity to do something really special on this homestand, and they have to continue that.
Amen to that. Jerry Augustine joining us on 620 WTMJ. Do you buy or sell Kevin Gausman? Let me know, 855-616-1620. Buy or sell is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Empowered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. Back with some texts and some chats after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall today 4-0. Jeff from Elkhorn, not our night. Didn't seem like the ball was carrying with the roof closed. Great job by Bryce Wilson to save the bullpen. What's Gary Sanchez bringing to the team right now? 3 homers since April 15th. Well, he's not playing every day, first of all. The thing about Gary, and I know people want to talk about the ABS challenges a lot, I want to remind everybody how the ABS challenge system, how successful it's supposed to be. I want to remind you, that little box you see on television, that's not there in real life. The super slow-mo, oh, we can look at every pitch in the split second. It's not there in real life. The success rate for catchers, do you know how, like, what the average success rate is for catchers on ABS is? 60%. Meaning, you get 10 challenges, 6 of them are right, 4 of them are wrong. And you're average. Okay? Gary Sanchez is average. 58% conversion rate. He still gets them wrong when you're average. Okay? I think there's this weird mental gymnastics happening right now with the ABS system that for some reason people are expecting 100%, which nobody's 100%. It's a game of inches, as we know. You could be right, you could be wrong. That's why we introduced this system. You can't have it both ways, where some folks are complaining, they don't challenge enough, and they challenge too much. And then it's, oh, they don't challenge a 1-0 pitch. Well, what do you want? What do you want? I'm fine. The two challenges he got wrong today. And there's even a deeper level of scouting report that I can go into on the umpire, right? Where it's, you know, you can have scouting reports on the umpire that say, hey, he really struggles on the outside corner to righties, where he gets challenged a lot on the outside corner to righties, and they get overturned majority of the time. So be ready to challenge. And this is just total hypothetical. I'm not saying that's what Jansen Visconti was tonight, because Gary went 0-2, and people want to freak out. That's not the reason the Brewers lost the game today. It's not. This one, Alex from Oshkosh, shout out for only the fourth time this year. Can't win games, and you don't score any runs. Thank you, Trent Dilfer. This one from Mark. Couple of observations. Ortiz not paying attention. Too bad. Brewers have too many injured pitchers. This is a whole bunch of word vomit. Good try there, Mark. They have two key injured pitchers right now on the starting rotation. That's Brandon Woodruff and Quinn Priester. Logan Henderson tomorrow is going to be a breath of fresh air. I hope the cramping is under control. It's not going to be as hot tomorrow. Because, again, right now, if the postseason started tomorrow, you know, and the Brewers are in an NLCS, the four starters they're going to roll with right now would be Jacob Mizorowski, Kyle Harrison, Shane Drouin, and Logan Henderson. Those are the four. Now, if they make an acquisition, maybe. Maybe we're talking about somebody else. Robert Gasser's probably in the bullpen. Brandon Throat's probably not on the roster, right? DL Hall's in the bullpen. Aaron Ashby's obviously in the bullpen. So, it's a loss. Chalk it up, it's a loss. It's just one of them days. Brewers fall today for nothing. Over on the YouTube side of things, take a peek there, but also want to give out a player of the game, which it's not going to be a Brewer. Maybe, you know what, let's just give it to Bryce Wilson, because he saved the bullpen. Now you've got McGill and Abner and Ashby ready to go for tomorrow. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive it a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. Couple of thoughts. Agree that the offense needs to be more consistent, but I think offense is down across the league, so it's hard to blame them completely. Sproat just needs pitch better. Agreed. I mean, we said that earlier today. Framing will never be removed from the game, and Sanchez proves that. Yeah, he did have a few poor frames today, that strikes that couldn't get presented as strikes. But again, when you're missing your spot as much, it's a full relationship where, you know, if your pitcher is missing his spots, it's harder to get called strikes. And if your pitcher is consistently out of the zone, it's hard to throw him a bone in the ABS era. Whereas in the old days, you'd be like, oh, he's 2-0 and he's struggling. Ah, let me give him one, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? I think that the Brewers, again, with the injuries to Priester and Woodruff, they need to get Sproat developed. And he didn't pitch great in AAA with the Mets last year, and he got called up out of a need. And again, there's only so much you can learn in the minor leagues facing worse hitting. Sometimes it's trial by fire. And there's a long way to go in his career. There's a lot for him to still learn. There's no reason to overreact to a rookie struggling in his first 20 or so starts in a new environment. So, again, no rule says that he has to be pitching in a postseason game. But today didn't help his case. That's the truth. We will hear a brief message from Pat Murphy. There was an issue with the recording in the interview room today, but we'll hear a little bit of Murph talking about Sproat, talking about the team as well on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. We're in the home stretch of this program, going to the top of the hour. Reminder, Brewers All Access, if you're still with us, you can listen to these in podcast form, and you can listen to them commercial-free. How cool is that? That's useful. Brewers fall today by a final of 4-0. Off day on Thursday, then the Rockies come to town for three. Friday's a day game, midday game, the 3:10 start because of the alumni game after. Saturday's a night game. I misspoke earlier. Saturday's the 6:10 Saturday night game. And then 1:10 on Sunday against Colorado. Then it's out west to take on the Giants and the Angels. So that's a quick peek at your upcoming schedule. Real quick, short and sweet from the manager, Pat Murphy, today. Apologies for the lack of a recording, but we did get a little bit on his insights about Sproat and his offense tonight.
Yeah, but we didn't get any timely hits, and they didn't give up any free bases, so credit them.
Murph, I know Sproat has had outings where the velo kind of drops off as he goes. Did that feel like it was a little more extreme tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think he I don't think velo is really his game. You know what I mean? I think his strikes and movement is his game. And I thought he threw some really nice pitches and made some pitches when he had to and kept it close. And then, like I said, we miscommunicated on that ball or whatever it was. And then, you know, all of a sudden, instead of 1-0, it's 3-0. And I believe the game could have been different, most certainly then. But yeah, Sproat's, you know, I think he's coming along. I think he's going in the right direction. And yeah, he was.
On that base running mistake that you talked about, is that on Joey to follow the runner?
Yeah, yeah. It's on Joey to follow the runner, but it's on Cooper. You can't be indecisive on that, you know.
Yeah. I wondered from the point of view whether Cooper could see it or was blocked. Do you think he had a.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. But I know that Joey's got to look up and see, hey, he's not going. I can't go. But it seems so obvious because Joey had such an easy view of it. It's just obvious, like, you're going on that. Ball got by the catcher.
When you think about the way that the Brewers win games, it's on the margins, it's doing little things right, and it's no surprise that a game that should have been 1-0 entering that sixth inning was actually 3-0 because they didn't perform on the margins, and then they didn't add any runs because they didn't perform on the margins. You don't play well, you don't win. That's how baseball works, and there's no reason in overreacting to all of it. Murph agrees with that statement. Pat Murphy press conference is brought to you by Old Fashioned Roofing. Win or lose, Murph gives it to you straight. Around here, so does Old Fashioned Roofing. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built.
where a handshake still matters. Old-fashioned roofing. No highlights, so let's look at the out-of-town scoreboard. How about that? It's coming up on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ. All right, so it's 4-0. Whatever. Another one tomorrow. Around the league, I'm Dominic Catronio. A lot of rain on the eastern seaboard. Red Sox will have to wait to try to make it 15 wins in a row. Them and the Orioles split doubleheader tomorrow. Yankees and Pirates split doubleheader tomorrow. Max Fried returns from the IL in that one, too, with Garrett Cole. First time they're back-to-back in the rotation as Yankees. Also today, finals, Dodgers won on a crazy play against the Phillies 2-1. You got to go see it to believe it. You thought Joey Ortiz's base running blunder was bad. JT Realmuto said, hold my beer, Joey. That was a tough way to finish a game. The aforementioned Cubs bludgeoned the Tigers 11-2. Framber Valdez did not escape the first inning. He gave up six in the first inning. So they have a rubber match tomorrow. Rangers bounce back to blank the White Sox 10-0 today after they got beat up yesterday. Astros beat the Marlins 5-3. Miami has not won in a while. They were coming into the All-Star break on a losing streak. They have not won in the second half. So they are having a bad time. San Diego clawing their way back to 500. They won 8-3 over the Atlanta Braves. So real quick, if things hold as they stand right now. In the other games, Angels are up 5-1 on the Cardinals. Reds are up 3-1 on the Mariners. And the Diamondbacks are up 4-1 on the A's. And whew, the A's are going through it right now. But if the playoffs started tomorrow, the Cubs would be hosting a best of three with the Pittsburgh Pirates. They've snuck back in there. Pittsburgh earlier today, again, postponed. St. Louis is about to lose to Anaheim, which just can't happen. The Phillies would be going, or I should say, sorry, the Cubs would be hosting the Phillies, I should say, and those Pittsburgh Pirates would be going on the road to take on the Atlanta Braves, the winners of the East. The Brewers would be the 2 seed. The Dodgers would be the 1 seed. And a reminder that the 1 seed gets to avoid a division winner in the DS, meaning whoever is the 1 seed gets the winner of the wild card matchup, meaning Cubs-Phillies. If you're the 2 seed, you get the winner of the wild card NL East winner. So the last team in versus the worst division winner. And whatever happens, the Brewers obviously would not face the Dodgers until the NLCS if both teams move on. Let's quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard as the Brewers fall today. 4-0. We'll wrap up the program after this and give you a quick little rundown of who's expected to appear in tomorrow's or Friday's alumni game. Stay with us on WTMJ. Okay, last couple minutes. Expected to appear on Friday in the alumni Legends game presented by Northwestern Mutual. Red alert, Ben Sheets is expected to pitch. Red alert, Ben Sheets is expected to pitch. Turn back the clock like it's 2004, baby. Sheeter, Mike Moustakas, Giovanni Gallardo, Jenkins, and of course, Ryan Braun. I saw Eric Sogard's on the list. Jonathan Lucroy is on the list. Eric Thames is on the list. Jesus Aguilar is on the list. Randy Wolf is on the list. Doug Davis is on the list. Some good names. Some really good names here. And they're playing ball. 3 innings or 1 hour, whichever comes first, because I don't think this is exactly going to be a shutout, okay? They're playing real ball, and I'm really hoping it ends in a tie because it's a swing-off, just like the All-Star game where you get 3 swings. Whoever hits a home run moves on. If it's still tied, we keep going, and you pick a different guy. There's a whole lineup. It will be a great time and a lot to be enjoyed on Friday. But first, tomorrow, 1:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 12:35 with Brewers warm-up, the on-deck show, Pill Webinars. No warm-up tomorrow, just the on-deck show. Then, Thursday, off day, I have Brewers Weekly, taped, of course, Thursday night. I will be at Game Night with Sal Frelick. Again, tickets still available, gamenightwithsal.com, at the New Fashioned, benefiting Best Buddies Foundation, great foundation for those with developmental disabilities, and a cause that is near and dear to Sal Frelick's heart. So hope you can hang out with us on Thursday night and play some bar games. Maybe roll some bowl and knock a few pins, knock a a 7-10, whatever it may be. The Brewers will have a good time out there. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll talk to you next on Thursday night. Until then, keep on swinging.